Hello, residents of Meepletown. This is Dean.
This is Darren.
And we are a little bit behind. We are a week behind, so we apologize for that. But we got lots of good games we're talking about today. We're going to be doing our top five nature-themed games. Thanks for joining us as we seek to build community through board gaming. This is episode 171.
Residents of Meepletown, if anything, this is a podcast of integrity, honesty, and humility. I just want to begin the show today with a retraction. Yes, it is possible Meepletown sometimes makes mistakes. And before we say anything else, when I get this out there on the table, last week or the last episode, because that was probably a month ago, I can't remember. I misspoke in talking about the game Palm Laboratory, where I had said that the cards of the game were not plastic like the previous game, its older sibling, Palm Island. I was wrong. And actually, I was called out on this by designer John Meitling. They're online, and he told me, in fact, that the cards are plastic. And I apologize. I thought I did my due diligence. I checked on the Kickstarter page. I looked, I saw lots of things, and just slid on right past that plastic card upgrade. So that is on me. The cards are deceiving. I don't have a lot of practice with plastic cards, Dean. They're flimsier than I expected. But if they're plastic cards and the game is only $6, for me, that bumps that back up to a play. It's worth it, especially if you're someone that likes to play those little small handheld games in line or wherever you may be. So my apologies to John and the Palm Laboratory crew, but there we go.
Interesting. Yep. I don't like plastic cards. The only experience
that
I have...
I'm not a huge fan myself.
Maybe I'm wrong. I have a deck of Disney playing cards that are plastic. We got these several years ago. They're cool looking, but they're slippery. So I don't know if that's the case now. I mean, this has been years ago since we got those, but...
And that's one thing I will say about these. I don't recall them being slippery feeling because I do have a set of playing cards that is slippery. These are not. They just feel a little flimsy. But the fact that they will hold up to your palm sweat is good to know.
Gross. All right. Well, Darren, what else have you been up to other than misrepresenting board games?
My word. Yeah, I'm so sorry. It has been wild. I hate April. Have I said that? I'm not sure if I've told enough people how much I hate April. April has just been so busy.
Do we have an April listener whose name is April? Maybe we should.
April,
we apologize.
I love you. You are a fantastic human being, I am sure. Actually, I do know an April. April, I'm not talking about you. The month of April has been so busy and so hard. We've had cars breaking down, transmissions needing to be rebuilt, money going here, money going there, wrapping up a semester. I'm going off 3 hours sleep right now as we speak. I smell like bacon. Our whole student center smells like bacon. We had a breakfast late last night. I can't even type on the keyboard here. I just got grease oozing through my pores. It is a hot mess, literally.
Gross.
That's the theme of the show today. Dean, make that the title. Gross.
Stinky Darren is the name of the... And you got your Meepletown shirt. You're getting all your Meepletown shirt all stinky over there.
Well, the good news is it's a dark gray, so it just hides the grease stains.
On a separate note, if you would love the show and you want to support, one way you can support is buying some Meepletown merch. That shirt is my favorite, probably the one that you have on. It's got the regular Meepletown like street sign logo on that heather. Is that a charcoal gray? Charcoal gray. There we go.
That's what I would call it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but it hides grease stains.
Oh boy. Fantastic. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, Darren, I've been playing a lot of games lately. It sounds like you have not been playing any games.
I've not played any games, so this whole recent play segment is just you. It's been weeks since I've played a game, but hopefully this week. But tell me, please, let me live vicariously through you and your gaming experiences.
Okay, well, I've got really so many games that I've moved on. I'm not saying this to rub this in your face, Darren. I've had a lot of opportunities to play games lately.
That feels like you're rubbing it in my face.
One game that I played is a... small game. This is the only one I'm going to talk about today. I'll share some of those other ones for weeks to come. But this is a 2023 release from designer Tucker Smeads. This is called Dice Cards. This is in a small box that has, I was going to say 50 cards, and it does. It has 50 unique cards, but you multiply that twice. So I guess they're not unique then, right? There's two sets of 50 unique cards.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
There's a deck of about 100 cards, and you have duplicates of each card, 50 different cards. Is that the way to say that? Yes, there's 50 different cards, and there's two of them.
So there's 100 cards? Is that what you're saying?
We're off to a good start. We're off to a good start. Yeah, we'll figure this out as we go.
Maybe you only have 3 hours of sleep.
That might be the case. Maybe so. This is a roll and write game, and I've been on the roll and write kick for about 2 years now. So this is one that's right up my alley. This is a quicker game. Plays in about 15 to 30 minutes is what it has listed on the BGG page. But you're going to take these two dice, a red die and a blue die. You're going to roll these at the same time, and you are going to either take one number from the red die, a number from the blue die, or combine them and put that number on one of the cards that you're going to have in front of you. You're going to start off with six cards, not start off, you're going to have six cards in front of you the entire time, and you'll choose from, I think it's eight cards that you have. So you get eight cards, you choose six of those to be in front of you, and then you're going to write down a number on those. You are trying to get the most points by taking the numbers that match up. Now, each game is unique, so it's kind of hard to explain how all of those work. But just know that each one has a different theme. So you might have one card that's like Sudoku themed, or you might have one that's a fishing tournament, or one that's bowling, or one that's golf, or one that's solitaire. I mean, there's 50. There's 50 different mini games that you're playing in front of you, and you're just writing down a number. Pyramid of like going in ascending order or whatever. Sometimes the color of the die doesn't not matter, but sometimes it does. You might want to get like a red six on this card, and you have to cross it off when you get a red six. And that's it. You're trying to get the most points on all of those cards playing through 50 rounds. So you're going to roll these dice 50 times, and it only takes about 15 to 30 minutes, which is true. It's not a very long game at all. If you've ever played Rolling Realms and you're thinking, wow, that sounds kind of familiar, well, that's because it's really similar to Rolling Realms. There's some differences. I would say this is easier than Rolling Realms, meaning you're only writing on one card, so you don't have to choose like two out of the three cards that are in front of you. The rules are pretty simple, which the rules are simple in Rolling Realms too, but I think there's some complicated ness with like which cards I can write on and the special rules for the, you know, when you cross off a pumpkin, I can do this thing. Okay, there's none of that. It's like stripped down Rolling Realms. That is a pretty good game. I'm enjoying this one. I think it's a lot of fun. Now, you hear 50 cards, 50 mini games, and you're like, wow, that's really cool. And it is, in the same way that Rolling Realms is cool like that, but they're not just crazy different, I guess. And like, you have the answer key on the back of all the cards. So like, you can do Sudoku, and you can actually do the Sudoku, or you can just look on the back and know which numbers that you need to fill into the card. So that makes it a little less exciting, because each card doesn't feel... Some cards feel very different, but some feel pretty similar to other ones that you're going to have. But it's cool. I'm enjoying this game.
So just looking at some of the pictures and listening to what you said, so are you saying you've got six different mini game cards out in front of you, and then you're rolling the dice and deciding where to put those numbers?
Yep. Yeah, but you're only writing down one number every round.
Right.
So for 50 rounds, you're doing that.
So it's kind of like a mini game bingo. I mean, it's giving bingo vibes to me here, Dean, because, I mean, not that someone's calling on a number, but you've got all the different cards and you're trying to figure out where to put it.
In that sense, yes, but you have some choice in the matter. Like, I can choose either to take the black, sorry, I said blue earlier, but you can either choose the red die or the black die, or combine the two. So there's some choices to be made, and then which card that you want to focus on, because you're not going to be able to finish all six of these cards. And so you have to choose, like, what am I really going to lean into, and just focus on some of those that are going to give you points. And some of them you're going to get, like, some cards you have to completely do this thing to get all the points. You might get 17 points if you complete this card, which is great. but it's also like, it's all or nothing. You have to do this thing. Golf is interesting because you have to do it in 9 consecutive rounds. Like, you have to do that. You can't stray away from that. And so there's some rules like that that are pretty interesting. But then there's others where it's like, you can get points by doing this column, but you don't have to do the whole card. So you might just use this card as kind of like a filler if you can't put numbers in another card. So it's, yeah, it's cool. And it's, again, just one you pull out really quickly. You can explain it in about 2 minutes, play in about 20, 30 minutes. It's fun. I enjoy it.
So, sounds pretty wild. How thematic is it?
Some of them feel maybe a little more thematic than others, but it's not, you know, it's rolling dice and marking them on a card. But, you know, is Rolling Realms thematic?
I've never played it. You tell me.
Oh, you haven't. That's right. Okay. If you consider Rolling Realms to be thematic, then yes, this is thematic. But no, it's not. Yeah, doesn't need to be, but that's okay. So in the pass, play, purchase category, I will put this solidly in the play. I'm almost tempted to say purchase if you know that you already like Rolling Realms and you want something that appeals to a wider audience. Like people that aren't board gamers and don't get all the Rolling Realms references, because they all refer back to board games, okay? If you like that idea but don't want that part of it and you want to teach it to, you know, grandma and grandpa and like your 7-year-old and everyone playing a game together, I think this is the way to go. And you can all play your own different mini games, or if you're playing head-to-head, you can each play the exact same setup and who does the best. So, yeah, I'm going to say play, but purchase if all those other things seem appealing to you. That
sounds
is
cool.
Dice cards, and I mentioned the designer of this. I did not mention the publisher, and it's because my internet is running way slow. This is from Card Lords, is the publisher of this one.
Not Star Lords.
Not Star Lords. Card Lords.
That would have been cooler.
That's Dice Cards. So that's the only game we're going to be talking about that we've been playing recently, because we'll be doing that more in episodes to come. What we're going to do today is talk about our favorite nature-themed games. Let's check them out.
All right, residents, it is time for our top 5 nature-themed games. We felt this was very appropriate, like those little birds chirping you hear in the background, which really just Dean slurping on his coffee. Very melodically, though, I should say. But we thought, you know, it's springtime, sun is blooming, pollen is flowing, people are sneezing. What better time to talk about some nature-themed games? All the critters out there are getting Twitter-pated. It just felt like an appropriate list to go forward in this time. Both Dean and I are, I guess, themed-oriented gamers. We like playing games based around certain seasons. So this was an exciting list to make during this time. I'm hoping to actually get to play these games during this season. I've not had a chance to play any of them yet this year. But before we get into the list, Dean, I'm just curious, how did you decide to make your list? Because I think we went about this a little bit differently.
Maybe so, yeah. So I thought games of things that I would see in nature. So like when I think of nature, I think of hiking, I think of, you know, the mountains and animals and all of that, but things that are realistic. Is that, I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. Now I did, yeah, I left, yeah. I did leave off some because they didn't quite fit in that category in the same way. But that's what I went about.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think maybe I did something similar, but I may have been a little more true to the spirit of the list than you, because, you know, I really tried to just keep it about nature doing what nature does without as little human involvement as possible. You know, so, you know, there's no, you're not going to see any zoo games or anything like that on my list. No fantasy or anthropomorphic animals or any of that kind of stuff. Just nature doing what nature does.
I think that was a shot at me, but
I don't know. We'll see, maybe as the lists come out. So I'll go and kick it off because you seem to think you have the better number one game in all this. Like I said, I'm trying to keep it real, just nature doing what nature does, but with maybe one exception. My number five might be that exception. So this is a 2017 game. This is Spirit Island, which is designed by R. Eric Royce, published by Greater Than Games. One of four players, 90 to 120 minutes. This is the cooperative game where, yeah, you're doing what nature does still, Dean. You are actually playing as the forces of nature. This isn't some kind of anthropomorphized animal or something. This is, I would say maybe it's not fantasy, maybe even folklorish or myth. It's nature doing what nature does. You're playing as like volcanoes or lightning or fire, all these different element types, monsters, and you are joining in with the natives of this particular island, fighting off the colonizers. This is one of the most popular games, the top 50 game of all time for, you know, on BGG. It is cooperative. It is a great solo game. It's one where the card play really shines here because you've got some of the abilities and things on your cards that has some play slow, some play fast, and trying to decide when to play those actions and when to take those actions and how to manipulate some of those actions, especially if you're playing with someone else and using your partner's abilities as well. You're going to take your turns. Then the colonizers are going to come and take their turns. They have a deck that's going to flip out, and over time, they're going to invade the land and spread their blight, and you're trying to either attack the colonist directly or to help the Dahan, the people of the island, resist. Just thematically, I think it belongs on the list for that reason, because you are nature, preserving nature, taking care of one another, working together to do that. And if you're into the cooperative games but don't like the alpha gamer problem, this is one that resists that because everybody's taking their turns simultaneously. So it does help with that. The only problem is if you don't know what you're doing, you have to wait on someone else to kind of help you and walk you through it. So maybe that's part of the reason why it's number five on my list. This is one that I want to play more. It's slowly creeping up the ranks for me. And there's really a lot of depth here. This game has its own cult following and just, again, exudes nature. So that's, for me, why it's number five on the list.
Can I call shenanigans already?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Shenanigans. I'm calling it. I don't care. This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous pick. Dude, that's what I say.
You're playing as water. You're playing as trees. You're playing as mountains. I mean, come on. You're nature.
Do those mountains have eyes?
Well, I don't know if they do or not, Dean. You know, I can't see into the spirit world as much as many people think that I can. It is nature defending nature. There's nothing fantasy or outlandish about it.
Okay. All right. Well, it's your list. You do what you want to.
Dagger.
All right. My number five is a full-on nature theme game without any of that nonsense. It is a game where you're building up a reef. The name of this game is Reef. It's a very clever name for a game. This one is from Emerson Matsuchi, where you have this 4x4 card in front of you, this player board in front of you, and you're going to be taking these plastic reef pieces because what game about reef doesn't want to use plastic, a bunch of chunky plastic bits in it? So you have these cards that you have out on the table and you're going to be playing cards. So the top part of the card has these reef pieces and the bottom part has these scoring configurations. So I'm playing a card and I'm putting those reef pieces out onto my board and then I'm scoring the bottom part of the card. Now the top part is not going to coincide with the bottom part. So it's not like you're putting those pieces out so that you can get the points for that card. You have to plan for the future. So if I put out two yellow cards that are, or put out two yellow reef pieces out onto the board that are diagonal, it might mean that I'm trying to get points for diagonal yellow pieces or the most yellow pieces that you can see from the top down view. And that's it. You're just trying to get the most points by the end of the game. And that person is going to be the winner. It's one of those that came out with like that Azul line, those super simple, like beautiful productions, but like really fun. And I've known a lot of people that like Reef that I've taught it to that enjoy this better than they like Azul. And it still has some of those same kind of feels to it. So I like this one. It's not the most thematic, which is why it kind of shows up a little bit lower on my list, but it does have some theme and it does look cool, like you're building up a reef as you're going along. And that's it. That is Reef, my number five.
Yeah, I wish I liked that one more than I do. Cindy and I played it once. We didn't really care for it a whole lot. I don't know. We like those kinds of abstract games. Like we like the Azules, the Sagradas. For some reason, Reef just didn't connect.
Yeah, I still prefer Azul, but I enjoy this one as well.
Yeah, it is cool looking, quite pleasing. Another game that's quite pleasing is my number four. This is one that, man, it just makes you feel like you're out in the forest with all the trees and the animals. You can almost hear the birds chirping and the bugs crawling and the bears and foxes roaming around the woods. This is Forest Shuffle. It came out in 2023, designed by Kosh and Lookout Games. And again, I like the fact that this is on our nature list because this was Lookout Games' first game in their green line. And it's produced on FSC certified paper. And they're trying to avoid plastic altogether, unlike the reef game that has lots of plastic in it that actually is killing the reefs out there in the world. For a shuffle, you can play 2 to 5 players and about 40 to 60 minutes. And this is one of those tableau builders where cards combo on cards and combo on cards. Just one huge deck of cards really is all it is. You've got this thin market board there in the middle of the table called the clearing. And you're just trying to draft cards from the clearing or from the deck and put them in front of you in your own personal tableau to have the most ecologically balanced habitat for all kinds of flora and fauna. You know, on your turn, you're drawing 2 cards from the deck or from the clearing, and you're going to, or you can play a card from the tableau or from your hand into your clearing there. And you know, you have to have these tree cards first, and then all the other animal cards you're tucking in either on top or on the sides of those cards, because each card is going to be split either, you know, down the middle, dividing a card between left and right sides, or it's going to be split down the middle, dividing the card between top and bottom. And you're just tucking these cards behind these trees, like these little animals peeking out from behind the tree. And the way they combo off each other is so thematic. It's so, you know, ridiculous, like how the rabbits just continue to multiply. You know, they just keep popping out there, and you're going to score, you know, certain animals will score more if there's other animals in, you know, at the same tree or in the same forest. And the way those things happen, the way those cards interact is exciting. And there's so many different combos there. You know, I've played this a handful of times, and there's still lots of combos that I still haven't seen yet. And again, I'm not always big on the combo-tastic, just flat-out card tableau builders, but there's something about that in this nature-themed world that makes that more palatable to me. And like I said, this does look like a forest when you're done, especially if you're playing just 2-player and you've got cards everywhere, because you're going to keep drawing from that deck until the third winner card comes out, which is tucked down there somewhere in that bottom half of the deck, which again, is kind of thematic. You never quite know when winter is coming. You have an idea, but sometimes it's a little bit of a surprise. I love that. And I'm glad that there's an Alpine expansion coming out for this game soon. That is my number 4, Forest Shuffle.
I'd like to try that one out more. I've only played it online, and I've enjoyed it. I think it's fun. John's one told me about that one about a month and a half ago. He said he really liked it too, but yeah, I'll check that one out. My number 4 is a game about building up a zoo. Now, just stuffing animals into enclosures, is that a nature theme game?
See, this is where I have a problem.
Okay. I would too, Darren. I would too. It's like the anti-nature game. But what if you're also trying to conserve nature? What if you're trying to save species and all of that? Like you're doing good for the world as well. Then that's a nature themed game, right?
Well, you know, the zoo thing, this is part of my deal. The zoos, you want to give me grief about Spirit Island.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Zoos, like you're containing, you're caging up nature. Yes, there are animals in it. What you're doing, though, does it feel nature-y as you're wheeling and dealing with universities and other zoos to get more animals so that way you can profit, Dean? Does that feel nature-y to you?
It does, actually. My number four is Ark Nova. maybe there's better picks, but I really like this game, so it made my list anyway. This one came out in 2021. It is now ranked number four of all time. That's nuts.
Wild.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's wild, like nature, Darren. So in Ark Nova, you're going to be taking these different actions to do lots of different things. There's five different actions that you can take, and you can improve these actions as the game goes along, so you can make them a little bit stronger. One of it is just gaining cards. One of it is building these different enclosures in your zoo. One is then putting animals into those enclosures, and you'll put those like in a tableau off to the side, these cards that you'll have in play that sometimes give you one-time abilities. Sometimes they're going to be helpful throughout. The tags that you're going to have on those will be helpful. You're going to be able to take the sponsor action, which lets you do lots of different things there too, I guess, you know, get make connections with other zoos, and you can, you know, conserve nature, all of that. And then action that will allow you to take actions with associated workers. And as those cards move farther to the right, meaning like I'm waiting to take this action, and so every time I take an action, I take a card out, I put it all the way to the left, and it slides everything to the right. So as you're not taking those actions over and over again, those cards move farther and farther to the right, and they get stronger. And I really like that mechanism in games. I think it's a lot of fun. Civilization New Dawn used that first, that I saw first, and then this game came in and did it as well. And then you can flip the card over at some point to make the ability on that card stronger. In your zoo, you also have a board. My map board is going to be different than yours, and so it might give me different abilities on there. We play out radically different games depending on, you know, the cards that you're going to get dealt. And you do have some agency there with the cards that you can choose from the center of the board, but you have to be able to build up your knowledge to be able to do that. A lot of fun. This is one that I always have a game going on BGA for this one. I mean, just always. I mean, for months, I've had a game going on of this one. I haven't even played my physical copy in months and months, so I need to get that out to the table. But it's just a fantastic game. It actually does play really well on BGA. A lot of fun. I will say the one thing is you do have agency with the cards that you get sometimes, but you're going to do better with better cards, cards that like play off of each other better. And so that's my one complaint, if I have one, is that if you just don't have cards that go well together, you're probably not going to do very good at this game, but still fun. So that's my number, four? Ark Nova. The only reason it's not higher is because Darren was giving me grief about it not being a nature-themed game because it's a zoo-themed game, but I put it on here anyway. My number four, Ark Nova.
Yeah. If I didn't have any morals or standards, I would have put it on my list too. I love Ark Nova. It is such a good game. And the Marine Worlds expansion kind of helps with the problem of clearing out the row and helping you get more cards in there. But
ooh, I've not played with that.
Yeah, I haven't either. That's just what I hear. You know, I've got it. I've not played with it yet. But it helps with that whole tension of knowing when to hold them and when to fold them, when to pivot. Okay, I'm not getting any baboons this round. I'm gonna have to move on to something else. So
that would be a much better version of the Kenny Rogers song. No one to hold them, no one to fold them, and then all the other stuff that you said after that.
Baboons.
Something about baboons.
My number three has nothing to do with baboons, but it does have something to do with attracting animals to your, oh my gosh, this almost kind of fits in the zoo category, attracting birds to your aviary. This is Wingspan Asia.
Huh.
It's going to be my number three. Yeah. Okay, this whole list is null and void. So again, Wingspan, one of the great cultural phenomenons that we have seen in the hobby. So if you don't know, designed by Elizabeth Hargrave, art by Ana Maria Martinez and Natalia Rojas, and published by Stonemaier Games, Wingspan is a tableau building, engine building game where you're trying to attract birds to your wildlife preserves. Yeah, it's almost kind of zoo-ish, but you don't feel like it. You don't see the cages, Dean. But you're trying to protect, attract these birds by rolling dice, get the right kinds of food to attract the best birds. And then some of them are going to lay eggs, which you can later on use as currency or points, you know, just like in real life. And then there's these different goals for the end of each round. We're going to score points, which can give you, you know, maybe a certain direction to play. That's Wingspan overall. Wingspan Asia, my preferred way to play, is the 1-2 player standalone expansion for Wingspan. So you can just play Asia, not have any of the Wingspan stuff. In the game, I know I've talked about it before, but you're going to add these tokens to all the card spots on your board. And so as you play a card, you're now then going to take the token from that space and put it out in this new shared area board where you're trying to connect these tokens in various ways, almost as an area control element to it. And you're going to get some bonuses, and there's some other in-round goals and those kind of things you can play there. It just adds another layer to Wingspan, and especially if you throw in the Oceania expansion, which adds those nectar tokens. That's just bonus because it makes getting the food and get you going just that much faster. And my wife and I have a lot of fun playing this one. And again, you're dealing with nature. You're using the food to attract the birds. Your the way the birds combo and interact with each other, like the vultures, and you're like, you know, going to claim certain cards and tuck up underneath them. They're going to count as dead animals. They're going to give you points, and just the way some of the animals, the birds interact with each other, is thematic and exciting and fun. And that's why it made my number three nature game, Wingspan Asia.
Excellent pick. I like that. I'm okay with the luring of the birds. I think that's fine.
You're looking at them, Dean. You're not caging them. You're just looking at them.
My number three is Wormspan. Where, I'm just kidding. It's not. I don't have any dragon theme games on here. My number three is Ecos First Continent, which is a game where you are building up the Earth. You're forming the Earth by playing bingo. How about that? So you're drawing these tokens from a bag, and as you draw those out, it'll have a symbol on there, and you're going to put the symbol on your cards that you have in front of you. And as you fill up those cards, it'll trigger lots of different things. Now, you also have the Earth, which is the hex tiles that are going in front of you, where everyone is building up this Earth. And you're trying to configure the land tiles in certain ways. You're going to be putting animals out onto those, into their different habitats. And you're going to score points. And it's a race game. It's a John D. Clare, so that classic, you know, race to the finish style game with the bingo and, you know, triggering the points that are on those cards. Now, you do exhaust these cards at some point. You're only going to be doing these a certain amount of times. You're going to be getting new cards that go out. I haven't played this one in a minute, but I still really, really have enjoyed my plays of this one. This is a lot of fun. If you like games like Ave Caesar, which is not a nature-themed game, but Ave Caesar is a game that we used to play a lot. It's a bingo-style game, and my wife really likes that game. Our friends really like that one. Ecos, I think, is the better game, but it has that same mechanism of, like, bingo to mark off things on your card and trigger those things. So it's cool. I really like this one a lot, and it does fit in that nature theme very well, because you're just straight up building up this the Earth with different land tiles and animal tiles that go within those terrains. That is Ecos First Continent, my number three. Meepletown, I apologize. It is not Ave Caesar. It is Rise of Augustus, the game that I was talking about, the bingo game. And some of you are shouting at the radio saying, that's not right. The reason why I said Ave Caesar is because in Rise of Augustus, when instead of saying bingo, you say Ave Caesar. And so I always call the game that in my mind. But Darren corrected me outside of what you heard. He yelled at me and hurt my feelings, but I corrected it.
I just yelled, Ave Caesar. And then you knew.
Yeah, so Rise of Augustus, but that was not my pick. My pick was Ico's First Continent.
Yeah, that's one that I'd like to play sometime. I've always been intrigued by that one. I've not played any of your top three games here, so I want to play all of them at some point.
They're the best of the list.
Well, of your list, of course, but not mine. Because my number two, I would say, potentially trumps Ico's, though I'm sure it's a little bit of a lighter game. This one is designed by Henry Audubon, and the art is by the 59 Parks print series. That's right. I'm talking about the game Parks, published by Keymaster Games. 1 to 5 players, 30 to 60 minutes. This is a great, this game has great components that just exude nature with all the little tokens of sunshine and raindrops and mountains and all the little different animal meeples of all different shapes and sizes. It's super cool. And if you've ever played Takedo, it's kind of similar to that, where you are basically just moving down a trail, experiencing this pleasing and naturally hike through all the different parks. In the game, you've got this track of tiles that you can only move forward on, no going backwards. And you're going to have two hikers that you're trying to move down. And the round will end once everyone gets their hikers there to the end of the line. And besides only being able to move forward, which as you're moving these hikers forward, you're stopping on certain tiles to collect resources from those tiles like water and rain and mountains. And you're going to use those resources to visit these national park cards that you are trying to collect. So basically a kind of a order fulfillment type deal. You want to go to these parks. Each park requires so many resources. You're trying to collect those on the trail and then turn those in to gather those parks, to visit them. And whoever's going to have the most points in the game wins. But part of that moving down the track is you cannot stop on a tile that someone else has already stopped on, unless you use your campfire token, which you can flip over to do that once per round. So the more players you have going out there, the more hikers you have going out there, the harder it is to navigate. So sometimes you have to make those juicy decisions of, do I go ahead and go to the very end of the trail early to get that first player marker so I can have first say of what I want next round? But if I do that, I may be passing up something juicy and let somebody else get some resources and have a bigger turn ahead of me. That kind of tension is so much fun. There's also these gear cards you can collect that can help you along your path. There's these seasonal cards that are going to, you know, cause rain or some of the type of event that can be positive or negative during the game. It's so clever and thematic. I am not a camper or a hiker by any means, but man, what I want to be. I want to be, let's put it that way. I would love to have an RV as long as I have, like, you know, personal assistants setting everything up for me and doing everything for me. I just want the experience of being outdoors and seeing all these beautiful parks. Maybe we should design an RV game like that, a glamping game, Dean. Maybe that is what we need to do next once we've made our s'more making game. But Parks is here. okay. But Parks is here because, again, you're just hiking through nature and observing all these things. And it sounds pleasant and peaceful, but my experience is it's usually not. Getting those resources sometimes feels like a knife fight in a phone booth. It's really tense, but it's really beautiful. Parks, the number two best nature-themed game. And anybody can play it. You can play this with anyone. It's easy to teach, easy to play.
Okay. I love hiking, and I love camping. I am not the biggest fan of like the glamping and the RVs and stuff like that. Although I wouldn't mind having an RV. My preference is to tent camp, but yeah, it's just harder to do that these days. Partly here, if you go to a campsite here, you have to book months in advance. I don't know if it's that way everywhere, but if you don't book months in advance, you just can't go, which is really unfortunate because I don't always think months in advance that I'd like to go camping.
I feel like one of the joys and pleasures of camping and hiking is sometimes the spontaneity of it. Hey, let's do this weekend.
Yep. Yep. And we can do that with hiking. I mean, we're close to some state parks, really close to state parks, but yep, I can't always camp there. So anyway, this is a cool game. Really like Parks. It was on my short list for sure. Maybe even like 6 or 7 is my guess, because it's a fun game. I like it.
Gotcha. Great. Well, if you want to dream about going to national parks and can't get there, Parks is your game.
There we go. All right, my number two is Earth. Earth is a tableau building game that was on my top list of games last year. I'm trying to think of where it was. I think it was actually number two on my overall list last year. It's actually ranked 186 right now for a game that released in 2023. It's shooting up the tracks just like Ark Nova did. But this is a tableau building game where you are putting cards into your 4x4 grid of cards and taking actions. So some of those actions might be getting soil, which is like your currency. Some of them might be giving you growth, which allows you to stack these little wooden pieces on top of each other. There's an action that gives you cubes that you're going to put out in your cards. There's an action that lets you play your cards. And if I take the action, I get a strong action. And then everybody gets a weaker version of that action, which is, you know, not a super unique way of doing things. In fact, this game, like Ark Nova doesn't have like a lot of uniqueness to it. It just does what it does very well. You get points for everything, for the cubes, for the growth, for the points listed on the card. There's in-game scoring cards. There's also these cards that you can score as the game goes on, as you put different, configure your tableau in a certain way. But the way that you put your cards in the tableau does matter, because they're going to trigger in a certain order, top down, left to right. And so you want to make sure that you can do all the things. So like, you might have an action that says take a growth action, and then another action that says remove one of your growth and put two cubes down on your board, or something like that. Well, if you don't do one before the other, you might not have the growth to be able to take that other action. So I like that. I like that the order does matter. It's a really fun game. I don't know if it's necessarily the most thematic game. So maybe that doesn't fit really well with this list, but it does. It's just cool. I just really like this game, and I think it's pretty, and I think it's just a lot of fun. So anyway, that's Earth. You have not played this one. You got to get this one played. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. If nothing else, again, just because of all the hype around it, I feel like it's worth checking out. And one word, compost.
Compost. What other game has a compost action?
I can't think of any.
All right, my number two, Earth, what you got?
It's better than compost. My number one is, again, I think what I've discovered in the process of making this list, one of the things I love most about some of the nature themed games is just the exploring and the observing. I feel like this is a thing that kind of keeps coming up in the games that I've chosen, such as, you know, I just mentioned Parks, you know, as my number two. The Forest Shuffle kind of gives that same vibe. You know, maybe not so much Spirit Island, lots of violence there. Nature doing nature. Wingspan, even, you're observing the birds. My number one, it's just like a very pleasing walk through a meadow. Because that's my number one. Meadow, a game designed by Clemens Kalicki, art by Carolina Kajak and Katarzyna Feibiger. They have this beautiful hand-painted watercolor art on the cover, on the cards. It's just really pretty to look at, published by Rebel Studio. And again, a game you can play with 1 to 4 players, 60 to 90 minutes. The solo version of this is very good, as well as the multiplayer. And in this game, you're just explorers trying to be the best, most skilled nature observer, right? I know it's kind of, you know, how do you be the best skilled nature observer? But you're trying to just observe the most neat, point-ridden things over the course of the game. And then at the end of the round, be able to sit there by the campfire and tell the best stories. So you've got this grid of 16 cards there that's sort of the main board. And you have these different path markers that you're going to place in various places in order to draft cards from this tableau. Like if you're using the number two path marker of yours, you're going to place that either horizontally on that main board or vertically on that main board. And then whichever row or column you place your marker, you're going to take, like if it's number two, you're going to take the second most card from your marker. And so if it's the third marker you place down, you're going to take the third most card from that marker. And so that little mechanism of drafting the cards, I find very, very interesting and intriguing, especially as things get tight on that board. And so you're drafting cards from there, you're playing cards into your personal playing area, your tableau there. And it often has to start with some kind of ground card. There's different types of terrains you've got to play. And then after that, other cards you take will stack on top of that. It may be you know, you may place a flower card on top of that one. There may be a bug card on top of that one. There may be a bird that's going to eat that bug on top of that one. And so each of the cards that you're drafting and you're playing have certain types of requirements that tell you what type of land type or what other type of card they can be placed on top of. Granted, that kind of covers up some of the pretty art, but still thematically, it fits as you're watching your meadow grow and expand and become a more beautiful habitat. And then, you know, there's also times you can go and place your marker the other way around the campfire board. If you meet some of the requirements there, you can pick up some points along that way. Again, kind of symbolic of you seeing all these neat things and now coming around the fire and telling your stories. Again, it's a very pleasing game. It's a beautiful walk through nature. You're just observing what's going on. This is some of the stuff that I love. I love just walking around campus. I love walking around trails and just seeing all the beautiful stuff that we have in creation. And then from a gamer's standpoint, there's also some envelopes in this that are used to meet certain milestones. You can open up certain envelopes and create new stuff, new mechanisms and cards and things. It is a beautiful, fun, pleasing game. And there's another expansion coming out soon called Adventure Book, which adds a whole nother level of gameplay to this that I'm really excited for. It's supposed to come out sometime in Q3. This is one you've played before, right?
No. In fact, this is by far the one that I want to play the most. Mm. And I've had opportunities to pick this one up, but something has prevented me because I want to be able to play it first. I want to see if I like it. But it looks cool. It's got several things that you're talking about that really draw me in. I need to check this one out.
Yeah, I think you would like this one a lot. That is my number one, the number one, Meadow.
Meadow. Yeah, that would be a good pick if it weren't for the actual number one, which is a Spiel des Jahres winner. It's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you've heard of it, but this is a game that released in 2021. It's ranked 45 overall by designer Randy Flynn and art by Beth Sobel. This is Cascadia. The art in this is beautiful. I love the box cover of this one. Kind of like Fjords. For some reason, those two box covers by Beth Sobel really draw me in more than a lot of other ones do. But in this game, you are drafting a combination of tokens and tiles. These are hex tiles that you're going to put out into your little map that you're creating. They all have different terrains on them. In fact, they have multiple terrains on them. Some of them do. You'll put them out into your map, and then the tokens you're also going to be putting onto your map. So the tokens represent animals, and again, the hexes are terrain. You're going to get points for the configuration of all of those. So you have these different scoring cards that come out every game, and each scoring card corresponds to a specific animal. So in this game, I want my bears to act in a certain way, or this game I want my salmon to act in a certain way. I want them all to be in a line, and I'm going to get points based on that. Same thing for hawks. Now, for the birds they all kind of have these different they all have different cards, but they have similar ways of scoring for each game. So the foxes, they're going to score in a certain way, even though the scoring cards aren't exactly the same. It's just like a variation of that way of scoring those cards. And then the terrain are going to score with your largest terrain types. You're going to get points that way. Super simple game. This one, you mentioned solo for Meadow. This one plays fantastic solo as well, but I really enjoy this with any player count. I have taught it to brand new, not board gaming people that have really enjoyed it. Maybe some of those games have gone a little bit long when you play with four players and it's brand new people, but not always. I mean, it's 30 to 45 minutes is what it says on the box. Sometimes if you're playing with new people, it'll take longer than that, but this one's always been a hit. Love, love, love Cascadia. Just beautiful, feels cool, one that you can pull out quickly. Great game. And you've not played this one. That is a bummer.
Well, you know, I've never really had the chance to play it. And I remember when this came out, I love the art. I love the idea, the whole, you know, Pacific Northwest. It's really beautiful. And I like those mechanisms of the drafting that you're talking about. When these two came out, I had the chance to buy this one or one of the games that almost made my list, but it's on my honorable mention. and that's God's Love Dinosaurs.
And you chose that.
I did. You know why?
Because you're 4 years
dinosaurs.
Old.
Dinosaurs. That's right. Well, see, some of the ideas the same. You're drafting tiles and putting them out, and then you're placing certain animals, trying to arrange them in such a way so you can score points from the animals because you have to put them in like order of food chain, you know. So like the tigers can eat the eagles, but the dinosaurs can eat the tigers, and just the way you're drafting them and placing them, it felt similar to Cascadia, but it had dinosaurs and animals eating animals. And the only reason why that one didn't make my list was because, I mean, I'm pretty sure like historically dinosaurs didn't roam with these types of mice and tigers and things, but I could be wrong on that. I'm not a scientist.
Oh boy. Well, that's my number one, Cascadia. It actually came out around the same time Luna Capital came out, that has the same mechanism of drafting two different things together. And I really like that. Actually, I preferred Luna Capital at the time. And I think over time, I've leaned towards Cascadia a lot more. I get this to the table a lot more than I get Luna Capital to the table. So anyway, that's my number one. You already mentioned some of your honorable mentions. Let's hear some more, Darren. You got any other ones?
I got plenty. I was really shocked how many nature-themed games I had played when we started doing this list. There was a lot, but some of the ones like God's Love Dinosaurs, like I mentioned, Hive Pocket is a fun little nature-themed game.
I agree.
You know, kind of chess-style, moving the little bugs around. That's a lot of fun. In the Footsteps of Darwin is one that I've spoken about on the show before, and that was a fun surprise of a game as you're moving the beagle around and trying to collect the different flora and fauna and stuff and add them to your journal. And then Buttonshy has several, the game publisher, Buttonshy Games, has a lot of nature-y themed games. Death Valley is a really pretty game. It kind of has a little bit of a Parks vibe, but in 18 cards, it's really fun. Tussie Mussie, Elizabeth Hargrave game, Beth Sobel Art, you know, the language of flowers and I split you choose. And then Food Chain Island is a fun one. I want to say that's a Scott Alms game. I don't have it in front of me, but that's one where it almost plays like the Cracker Barrel style peg game. You know, where you're trying to jump the pegs and trying to get it down to one.
Mm-hmm.
Food Chain Island, you've got this grid of cards of all these different types of animals that are numbered. And they're, of course, they're numbered in ways of which in the order of the food chain and how they would eat. And so each certain animal also has certain abilities at the bottom. And so as you're kind of like jumping these cards and kind of stacking them and collecting them, some of them give you abilities you can use, and you're trying to just basically be the last one on the food chain. So you're going to score, you know, how many cards did you get down to? Well, there's your score, beat your score. Kind of, it's a lot of fun. It's very clever and nature-y because, you know, eating.
That's interesting. I had several, outside of the ones that you had on your list, I had several. Great Barrier Reef, the card game by our friend Keith Piggott. Really enjoy that design as well. Morels, a game about going through the forest and picking up these different types of mushrooms. Quick little two-player card game that I still enjoy this. I've got the app and I play this one still. It's been out for a while. Sabernake Forest, which is one I've talked about on the show before. Another Devere design that I enjoy. Quick little card game as well. Summer Camp, deck building that has module decks that you can throw into it. Really cool. Parks, you've already mentioned that. Oceans and Atiwa, which is a game about collecting bat poop and using that bat poop and planting new trees and all that. It's a cool game. Just didn't quite make my list. Now, along with this, there's one that I haven't played and I've wanted to play. It looks so cool. That's Leaf. Have you played Leaf, the newer release game?
I have not, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, yeah. My guess is if I played that, I would probably be somewhere in the mix too, just because of what I've seen and what I've heard. It looks really cool. But that is it for our nature theme games. I would love to hear what your favorite nature theme games are. If you want to connect and let us know, hey, you missed this game, we want to know that. And so connect with us on Discord or our guild number 3407 at boardgamegeek.com. You can also look us up on all of these social media places. That's at Meepletown Games. And if you have any questions for Meepletown that you want to be answered on the show, you can send emails to Meepletown Games, Meepletown Mail at gmail.com. meepletown.com. And until next time, thanks for coming down to Meepletown.
Later.
Got any jokes, funny man?
Well, you know, this morning it was super foggy out here in Lafayette. And so I tried to catch some fog, but I missed.
I like that. That's a good one.